الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، هذا هو الحديث 28 من 40 النووية عن أبي نجيح العرباض بن سارية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت منها العيون، فقلنا: يا رسول الله، كأنها موعظة مودع، فأوصنا. قال: أوصيكم بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة، وإن تأمر عليكم عبد حبشي فإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، عضوا عليها بالنواجذ، وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، فإن كل بدعة ضلالة. رواه الترمذي وقال: حديث حسن صحيح.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وإنها لفرصة نستفيد منها جميعا في وقت قصير. هذا الحديث الجليل فيه دليل على مشروعية الوعظ والتذكير، ولو كان المقصود بالموعظة من أهل العلم ومن أهل التقوى، إلا أن الموعظة تفيدهم وتنفعهم وتنقلهم من حال إلى حال، من حال طيبة إلى ما هو أطيب منها. لذا وعظ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه ويعظهم في مناسبات شتى بحسب الحاجة وبحسب المصلحة التي يقتضيها المقام، فيشرع للعلماء أن يبذلوا جهودهم في بذل المواعظ للناس على اختلاف طبقاتهم، للعلماء فالموعظة تنفعهم، ولعامة الناس كذلك الموعظة تنفعهم ويستفيدون منها. لذا شرعت خطبة الجمعة وهي موعظة، وما ذلك إلا لعظم فائدتها، ولأن المؤمن إذا ذكر تذكر، وإذا نصح انتفع، وإذا علم علم وعمل. فللموعظة دورها العظيم وفائدتها الكبرى، ولا تستغني عنها طبقة من طبقات المكلفين على اختلاف طبقاتهم. لذا شرعت الخطب لأنها مواعظ، والتذكير والتعليم لما في ذلك من المصلحة التي تعود على الواعظ وعلى المنصوحين والسامعين للموعظة. ففيه دليل على مشروعية المواعظ، وما ذلك إلا لنفعها كما أسلفت. وفي الحديث دليل على الاجتهاد في الموعظة وذكر الأدلة من الكتاب والسنة التي تؤثر في قلوب السامعين، كأدلة الوعد وما فيها من الترغيب وجذب القلوب والفرح بوعد الله وكرمه، ونصوص الوعيد وما فيها أيضا من المنفعة لأنها تحذر من المعصية وشؤمها وسوء عاقبتها. والعاقل إذا سمع نصوص الوعد والوعيد فإنه يقبل بقلبه وحواسه وجوارحه لينتفع بنصوص الوعد الكريم، فينشط وينشرح صدره ويقبل بقلبه وروحه وجوارحه على سماع الموعظة النافعة. وهكذا إذا سمع نصوص الوعيد خاف ووجل فانزجر وبذل جهده في فعل الطاعة وترك المعصية وعمل الخير ومجانبة الشر. فكانت من جملة الوصايا في هذا الحديث الجليل الوصية بتقوى الله تبارك وتعالى التي تتجلى في امتثال الأوامر واجتناب النواهي. وعموما تحكيم شرع الله الكريم وما فيه كذا تحكيم شرع الله وما فيه من المنافع والمصالح ولما فيه من رضا الله تبارك وتعالى واجتناب مساخطه في كل جانب من جوانب أحكام الدين الإسلامي. لذا قال أوصيكم بتقوى الله تلبية لطلبهم الوصية. فكانت الوصية بالتقوى خير الوصايا وأنفعها لأنها فيها الأمر باتخاذ الوقاية من عذاب الله عز وجل وسخطه، وذلك بامتثال أوامره واجتناب نواهيه وإحلال ما أحل وتحريم ما حرم ومتابعة نبيه عليه الصلاة والسلام التي وصى الله عز وجل بها في محكم القرآن. ووصية أخرى دل عليها الحديث، وهي من مسائل الاعتقاد، طاعة ولاة الأمور. الوصية بطاعة ولاة أمور المسلمين، لا يجوز مخالفتهم ولا الخروج عليهم ولا الاعتداء ولا الخيانة، وإنما يجب الوفاء معهم وتبادل النصائح مما فيه مصلحة للراعي وللرعية، وهذا فيما يتعلق بولاة الأمر من المسلمين. وأما ولاة الأمور من الكفار فهؤلاء لا يجوز الاعتداء عليهم ولا يجوز منازعتهم، ولكن المشروع هو الجهاد في سبيل الله عند توفر شروطه وانتفاء موانعه، والوفاء مطلب شرعي ولو كان مع الكفار، والتحذير من الغدر والخيانة لهم، لأن المؤمن صريح يقول كلمة الحق بقدر ما يستطيع، ما لم يلحق به ضرر لا يطيقه. فإذا كانت الولاية لغير المسلمين فلا يجوز أيضا الاعتداء عليهم ولا الخيانة لهم ولا الغدر بهم، ولكن النصيحة والتعليم والجهاد بالبرهان، الكتاب العزيز والسنة المطهرة. والوصية الثالثة تؤخذ من قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ. إرشاد فيه الرحمة، دعوة إلى التمسك بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو شرعه المطهر عموما، والسنة التي هي الوحي الثاني بعد القرآن الكريم، وكم فيها من الأوامر والنواهي والترغيب والترهيب وسائر الأحكام. والتمسك بها سبيل أو سبيله أو الطريق إليه تعلمها، تعلم السنة والعناية بها وتمييز صحيح الأحاديث من ضعيفها والعمل بذلك. وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين الأربعة هي ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأنهم لم يغيروا ولم يبدلوا، لذا أرشد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الأخذ بسنتهم، وما هي إلا ما نقلوه عن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أو استمد من القرآن والسنة. وأن تؤخذ السنة بالجد والمحبة لها علما وعملا ودعوة وجهادا في سبيلها. فيكون المرء قد انتفع واستفاد من سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسنة خلفاء الراشدين. والوصية الأخيرة التحذير من البدع وأهلها وما فيهم وفيها من الخطر على المسلم، لا سيما من قل نصيبه من العلم، فإن أهل البدع يلبسون عليه ويستميلونه حتى يكونوا فردا من دعاتهم إلى البدع المهلكة التي قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. فالبدع خطيرة على أهلها وخطيرة على الناس أجمعين، والوقاية منها هو بذل الجهد في تعلم القرآن الكريم والسنة المطهرة وفهم ما فيهما من الأحكام للعلم والعمل والنشر، فيكون الإنسان قد تحصن من البدع ومن أهلها ويكون مواليا لأهل الإيمان الحق الذين عرفوا إيمانهم من كتاب ربهم وصحيح سنة نبيهم عليه الصلاة والسلام. فبعضهم ولي لبعض، والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض، وأهل البدع هم أعداء السنن وأعداء من يحمل السنن ويدعو إليها ويحذر من البدع ويبين ضررها وضرر أهلها. والله أعلم.
جزاكم الله خيرا، وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، حديث number 28 from the 40 نووي حديث on the authority of Abu Najih al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us a sermon by which our hearts were filled with fear and tears came to our eyes. He said, we said, O Messenger of Allah, it is as though this is a farewell sermon, so advise us. He said, I advise you to fear Allah azza wa jal and to give obedience even if a slave becomes your leader. Verily he among you who lives a long life will see great differing. So you must keep to my sunnah and to the sunnah of the rightly guided successors. Cling to them and bite them with your molar teeth. And be aware of newly invented matters, for every invented matter is an innovation and every innovation is a misguidance." Hadith was related by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, who stated it as Hasan and Sahih. Sound authentic narration. Then our Shaykh Zayd al-Madkhali Hafidhahullah, he began by praising Allah, the Lord of the universe, and asking Allah to send his peace and salutation and his blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad and upon his family and companions, ajma'een. And then he greeted us by saying, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah and his blessings." And he began, hafidhahu Allah, by saying, "Indeed, it is an opportunity for us to benefit in this short space of time from this great hadith, the hadith which holds the permissibility and the legislation of admonishing and reminding the people, even if the intent or even if the audience of this admonition were from the people of knowledge and piety. And this is only due to the fact that the admonition benefits them. The admonition benefits them and removes them from one state to another, and moves them from one state to another, from a state which is good to that which is better than it. Therefore, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he admonished his companions and he used to administer them in occasions, in many occasions, according to the need and according to the benefit which that predicament requires, or that situation requires. So it is permissible and it is legislated for the scholars to strive the utmost in admonishing the people according to their different ranks, regardless of their ranks. So for the scholars, the admonition is beneficial, and likewise the admonition is also beneficial for the people, and they benefit from it. Therefore the sermon of Jum'ah was legislated, and it is the khutbah, the sermon of Jum'ah is an admonition, and this is only due to the greatness of its benefit, and that also due to the believer, when he is reminded, he takes heed, and when he is advised, he benefits from the advice, and when he is taught something, he will learn and he will act upon that. So therefore the admonition has a great role and has a also major benefit. And none of the people, despite of their rank or status in society, are in no need of the admonition. So all of the people, regardless of their status or rank in the society, they are all in need of this admonition. Therefore the khutab, the sermons, were legislated. And this is because the khutab, the sermons, consist of admonition, reminders, teachings, and all of that hold benefit to the people. All of that hold benefit to the people, and this benefit extends to the person who is admonition, and also extends to the people who are being advised, and likewise those who are listening to this admonition. So in this hadith is a proof for the permissibility of admonition or delivering admonitions, and this is only due to the benefit, as I have mentioned previously. Then our Shaykh Habibullah, he went on to say that in this hadith there is a proof that the person or that one should strive when admonishing the people, and also should mention proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah which may affect the listeners, such as the proofs of wa'd, which is the proofs of the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, that which He promised His obedient slaves, and also mention some proofs of targhib. Targhib is the proofs or the verses which mention that which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala prepared for His pious slaves, and also this brings the heart closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, and also brings happiness into the heart with the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. Happiness because of the promise, when they realize the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, or when they learn and listen to the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal and His generosity. And likewise, on the other hand, mention some of the proofs which state the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal and His anger, and that which He prepared for the disobedient ones of slaves and the sinful ones. And the benefit of this is that it wounds the person from falling into sin, and also makes him realize the evil fate of sinning. So the wise person, when he hears such texts from the wa'd and wa'id, from the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal and that which He prepared for the pious slaves, and the text of wa'id, the proofs of wa'id, that which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala prepared for His disobedient slaves from punishment and anger, then when the wise one hears all of this, he will submit to Allah, and he will come towards Allah Azza wa Jal with his heart, with his senses, and with his limbs. So you would see that he would benefit from the text of the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal to his righteous slaves. So he would be energetic, and his chest will be open. He will have a relief in his chest, and he will submit to Allah, and he will come towards Allah Azza wa Jal with his heart, his soul, and his limbs. So he would come to Allah, towards Allah Azza wa Jal, with his heart, his soul, and limbs, and he would listen to this admonition, to this beneficial admonition. And likewise, when the person hears the text of wa'id, the text of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal for his disobedient and sinful slaves, then he would fear the punishment of Allah, and his heart would tremble, and he would be put off يعني from sinning, and he would strive his utmost in fulfilling the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal and abandoning the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also he would strive in carrying out good deeds and staying away from evil ones. So therefore, the Shaykh continued and he said, so from the number, or yani one advice from the number of advices which were given in this hadith by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first one of them is the advice of having piety or fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. Fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, the advice which manifests in sticking to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and staying away from his prohibitions. And also in generally implementing the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, the noble legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which it's this legislation holds from benefits, and legislation holds from benefits, and may Allah and also holds the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also holds staying away from the anger and the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal. In every angle or in every aspect, from the aspect of the legislations and the rulings of this Islamic religion. So therefore, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I advise you with having taqwa towards Allah, with having piety and fear towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Having piety towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And this was an answer for the request which was requested by the companions, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises them. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as an answer to their request, he started by saying, I advise you to fear Allah. So the advice with fearing Allah, the Shaykh continued and he said, it is from the best of advice and the most beneficial of them, because the advice of fearing Allah holds commandment of having a shield or having protection from the punishment of Allah and his anger. And this is by way of sticking to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling them and staying away from his prohibitions and taking lawful that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made lawful and taking as unlawful that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made unlawful. And also having mutaba'ah to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, following his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, following the way of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The advice which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises with in his noble Quran. And another piece of advice, the Shaykh continues, hafidhahullah, he says, another piece of advice which the hadith contained, and it is from the affairs of i'tiqad, the affairs of the belief and the affairs of creed, it is to show obedience to the rulers or to show obedience to the people in authority over us. And the Shaykh said, this is in reference to the people in authority who are Muslims themselves. So it is not permissible for us to oppose them, nor to rebel against them, nor to transgress over them, nor to betray them. Rather, that which is upon us is to be truthful to them, to be truthful and keep our honesty with them and exchange advice with them in that which holds benefit for the ruler and for the people who are being ruled. And this is in regards, the Shaykh said, this is in regards to the people in authority over the Muslims who are Muslims themselves, so the rulers who are Muslims themselves. As for the rulers who are from the disbelievers, from the kuffar, then such people, it is not permissible to transgress over them. It is not permissible to transgress over them, nor to compete with them over power. Rather, that which is legislated is to perform jihad in the path of Allah when the conditions are met and when the barriers are absent. The barriers of this jihad are absent. And also wafa, to be honest and to be truthful towards them. And this wafa, the Shaykh said, is a matlab shara'i, is something which is required in the legislation. even if it was with the kuffar, with the disbelievers. And also being aware of deceiving them, and also falling into treason and so on. Because the believer, he is a person who is who speaks the truth openly, and he says the word of truth according to his ability, as long as he does not, or as long as this does not bring back any harm that he cannot bear. So the Shaykh said, Hafidhullah, so if the wilayah, if this rulership and this leadership was to other than the Muslims, then it is not permissible also to transgress over them, and nor to fall into treason and betrayal and so on. However, it is upon the person to give them nasiha, to give them advice, and to teach them, and to strive perform jihad with the proof from the Quran, noble Quran, and from the purified Sunnah. And the third advice, which can be taken from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجد. So the third piece of advice which can be taken from this hadith is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after me. Cling to them, or cling on to it, and bite it with your molar teeth. So this is a guidance of mercy from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a call to cling to his sunnah, and his sunnah is his legislation, his purified legislation as a general sense. And the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the second revelation after the noble Quran. The sunnah is considered as second revelation after the noble Quran. And it holds much commandments and prohibitions, and also holds targhib and tarheeb. Targhib is that which makes the person, the proofs and the verses which make the person desire the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also makes the person know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for his pious and righteous servants. As for tarheeb, is the opposite of that, it is the proofs which make the person fear the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, and understand the punishment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for his disobedient servants. And also the Shaykh said that the Quran and the Sunnah or the Sunnah holds يعني, much rulings and legislations, and the way to cling on to it, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised, is by way of learning it. So the way to cling on to the sunnah is by learning it. Learn the sunnah and give importance and care to it by way of distinguishing the authentic narrations from the weak ones, and acting upon the ones who are the ones which are authentic. As for the sunnah of the rightly guided successors, the four rightly guided successors, then it is what the Prophet was upon, because they did not change after him. They did not change after him. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he guided us towards, or he advised us with following and taking their sunnah, taking their way. And their way or their sunnah is not anything except that which they transmitted from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which was taken generally from the Quran and the Sunnah. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, also it is upon the person to take this sunnah. It's also upon the person to take this sunnah with seriousness, and while having love towards it, having love of it, with knowledge and action, acting upon that knowledge and calling towards that knowledge and striving in the path of spreading that knowledge. So the person, if he does so, he would be a person who would have benefited it from the sunnah, and also from he would benefit it from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the sunnah of the rightly guided successors. So if the person achieves that and he accomplishes that, then he would be someone who would have benefited from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his rightly guided successors. The last piece of advice from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration is warning from innovation and its people. Is warning from innovation and its people. And what, how much danger the innovations hold, and how much danger the people of innovation hold, and how dangerous it is upon the Muslim, how innovation and its people are dangerous upon the Muslim, upon the Muslim servant, especially if he was one who was deficient in knowledge, who had little knowledge. For indeed, the people of innovation, they may try to deceive him or come to him with misconceptions, so that they can bring, so that they win him over, and therefore become an individual from their callers to innovation. So that he becomes an individual from their call to the destructive innovations that they call to, the ones which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَكُلُّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The types of innovation which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in a fire. So innovations are very dangerous upon its people, and upon the rest of the people as well. And the way to be saved from them and to be protected from them is by way of striving in learning the Quran, the noble Quran, and also striving in learning the purified Sunnah, and learn that which they both include from rulings, so that the person can acquire the knowledge and act upon it, and then spread it afterwards. And if the person does so, then he would be a person who would have fortified himself, and he had protected himself from innovation and its people, and he would be one who is who is an ally to the people of Iman, to the people of faith. The people of faith, those who derived and those who took their faith from the book of their Lord and from the authentic Sunnah of their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those people are allies of one another. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. And the believers, male and female, they are allies to one another. They are allies to one another. And the people of innovation, they are the enemies of the Sunnah. They are the enemies of the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are the enemies of those who carry and study the Sunnah, and who call to it, and who warn from the innovations, and clarify its harms, and clarify the harms of its people. And Allah knows best. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.